Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Ah, see that banner go. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Thursday, the 2nd of March, 2017. And we are going to be in the book of Jeremiah again, still, starting with chapter 37. And before we get started, we have produced a beautiful, beautiful Enoch solar calendar. It was put together by Brother Herbert of North Carolina. And each page depicts scenes from the Bible and from our Anglo-Saxon heritage. And it has all the feast days, and it also has the Gregorian calendar dates, so you don't get lost trying to figure out the Hebrew. If you'd like a copy of this, they haven't got the blurb up yet with the picture and all that, but it's still available. Just click on the donate button at the top of the page and send a donation of $20 or more. These are well worth it. They're not cheaply printed. They're beautiful, heavy gloss paper and beautiful calendars. And put the word calendar in the message and give us a mailing address, and they'll mail it right out to you. Pastor Eli's handling it. And get your calendar in time for the new feast days, beginning with Passover this year. Starts Sunday evening at sundown on April the 2nd. So that's just a little reminder. If you really want to get an accurate calendar and find out when all the dates and times and everything are, go ahead and get one of these. I've got one. I think it's absolutely marvelous. So there. But we'll get into chapter 37 of the book of Jeremiah now. Yeah, I made a mistake and ate a homemade cornmeal muffin. I got tickles in the throat. Verse 1 of chapter 37. And reigned King Sidkiyahu, son of Yoshiyahu, in the place of Konyahu, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babel, made king in the land of Yehuda. Verse 1, you can reference 2 Kings, chapter 24, verse 17, and 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 10. Verse 2, but neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land listened unto the words of Yahweh that he spoke by the hand of the prophet Jeremiah. Verse 3. And Sidkiyahu the king sent Yehukal, 308:1, the son of Shelemiah, 801:8, and Zephaniahu, 6846, the son of Maaseiah, 4641, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray, 6419, pray now to Yahweh Eloheinu for us, that's our God. Verse 4. See, this is prior time. It jumps back in time. The timeline's not linear in these prophecies. Jeremiah came and went among the people, for they had not put him in the house of confinement. 3:6-8, they did later. Verse 5, then the army of Paro came forth from Mitzrayim, and when the Kashtim, that's the Chaldeans, that lay siege to Jerusalem, heard news of them, they went up from upon Jerusalem. They beat feet, they got out of there. Verse 6, then came the word of Yahweh to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, verse 7, thus says Yahweh Elohe Israel, thus shall you say to the king of Yehuda that sent you to me to inquire of me. That's 1875. Behold, the army of Paro, which is come forth to help you, shall return under their own land, Mitzrayim, that's Egypt. Verse 8. And the Kashtim, that's the Chaldeans, the people of Babel, shall return and fight against this city and capture it, 3920, and burn it with fire. Verse 9, thus says Yahweh, do not deceive yourselves, 5377, saying, the Kashtim shall surely depart from upon us, for they shall not depart. Verse 10, because if you had smitten the entire army of the Kashtim that fight against you, and there remained 7604 pierced men, 1856, among them, they should rise up every man in his tent and burn the city with fire. Doesn't matter what you do, they're going to burn the city with fire. You are hit, it's over. Quit bothering me, in other words. Verse 11, and it was that when the army of the Kashtim was taken up from upon Jerusalem from the presence of the army of Paro, verse 12, then went forth Jeremiahu from Jerusalem to go into the land of Binyamin to separate himself, 2505, there from the midst of the people. Verse 13, when he was in the gate of Binyamin, a captain, 1167, of the guard, 6488, was there, whose name was Uriah, 3376, the son of Shelemiah, 8018, the son of Cananiah, 2608, and he arrested, 8610, Jeremiahu the prophet, saying, you fall away to the Kashtim. That's fall away is 5307, that's Nophel. It's here in a sense of switching sides or desertion. Verse 14, said Jeremiahu, false, 8267, I fall not away to the Kashtim. But he listened not to him, so Uriah arrested Jeremiahu and brought him to the officials. Verse 15, angry, 7107, were the officials with Jeremiahu and smote him, in other words, they beat him up and put him in the house of bonds, 612, Esur, in the house of Jehonathan the scribe, that's Jonathan the scribe, because they had made that the house of confinement, 3608, that's Kele. Verse 16, because when came Jeremiah to the house pit, 953, that's Bor, B-O-R, it's a dry cistern. They hadn't had any rain. It's now used for confinement. They dropped him down in the pit to the cell, 2588. Jeremiah was to remain there many days. Okay. The cell, that's Kanuyoth, in a sense of a curved ceiling as in an empty cistern. Verse 17, then sent Zedekiah and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from Yahweh? And said Yirmiyahu, there is, there is, for he said, that's yesh, for is there, and also there is, it has a dual meaning. You shall be given into the hand of the king of Babel. He didn't like that. Verse 18, said Yirmiyahu to the king Zedekiah, what have I offended against you? 2398, or against your servants, or against this people, for you to put me in the house of confinement. Verse 19, where are your prophets that prophesied to you, saying the king of Babel shall not come against you or against this land? Now please, my lord king, let my supplication, please, be presented before you, that you not cause me to return to the house of Jonathan, the scribe, not to die there. They just threw him in the pit, and we're going to leave him die. Lovely people. Verse 21, commanded Zedekiah that they commit Yirmiyahu to the courtyard of the guard, and that they should give him a loaf of bread daily from the street of the bakers until all the bread from the city was spent. 8552, used up. Thus remained Yirmiyahu in the courtyard of the guard. Now see, in prior chapters, he'd already been in the courtyard. When he was speaking to Baruch, he was confined to the courtyard. He couldn't leave it. So the timeline in this book of prophecy is all over the place. You have to pay close attention. And here we are in chapter 38. Heard Shephatiah, 8203, son of Matan, and Gedaliahu, son of Paskur, 6583, and Ukal, 3116, son of Shelemiahu, 8018, and Paskur, son of Malkiah, 4441, the words that Yirmiyahu had spoken to all the people, saying, well, see, he got two guys in the same passage, named Paskur. You got different fathers, but they have the same first name. Verse 2, thus says Yahweh, he that remains in the city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, but he that goes forth to the Kashtim shall live, for he shall have his life for plunder, 7998, and shall live. He's trading his freedom for a life of slavery in Babel, making sure he isn't killed outright. Verse 3, thus says Yahweh, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the army of the king of Babel, which shall capture it. Verse 4, said the officials to the king, now let this man be put to death, for upon this he weakens, 7503, the hands of all the people by speaking such words to them, for this man seeks not the peace of this people, but the harm. Verse 5. Then said the king to Zedekiah, let me get a drink of this hot coffee while it's still hot. Oh, that's good. Behold, he is in your hand. Or then said the king Zedekiah, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not able against you in this matter. In other words, nothing I can do. Verse 6, they took away Yirmiyahu and cast him into the cistern of Malkiyahu, 4441, the son of Hamalek, 4429, that was in the courtyard of the guard. And they let down Yirmiyahu with cords, 2256. And in the cistern there was no water, but mire, you know, gooey mud, 2916. So sank, 2883, Yirmiyahu in the mire. Now this is a different cistern and different people doing this to Yirmiyahu. And this was contrary to the king's orders in chapter 37, but they did it anyway. Now, 7. Wow. Now when Ebed-Melech, 5663, the Cushi, and that means servant of the king, Ebed-Melech, a man of the eunuchs, 5631, which was in the king's household, heard that they had put Yirmiyahu in the cistern, the king was sitting in the gate of Minyamin. Verse 8, and went forth Ebed-Melech from the house of the king and spoke to the king, saying, verse 9, my lord king, these men have done evil, 7489, and all they have done to Yirmiyahu the prophet that they have cast into the cistern, and he is like to die from the presence of hunger in that place, for there is no more bread in the city. In other words, they were just threw him in there and they were going to let him starve. And forget about him. They have a dead body down in that pit. Verse 10. Then commanded the king Ebed-Melech the Cushi, saying, take from here 30 men at hand and take up Yirmiyahu the prophet from the cistern before he dies. In other words, he sent a force of men, armed men, to go get him. And if the other ones complain, that's tough. Deal with them. Verse 11. So took Ebed-Melech the men at hand and went to the house of the king to went from the house of the king to beneath the treasury, 214, and took from their old 1094 cast clouts, 5499, and old rotten rags, 4418, in other words, old underwear and rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the cistern to Yirmiyahu. Verse 12, now Yirmiyahu was down stuck in that mire, standing up. He was stuck fast. Verse 12, and said Ebed-Melech the Cushi to Yirmiyahu, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under your armpits, under the cords, so they wouldn't rip his arms to pieces and cut him up bad, because they really were going to have to pull. And did so Yirmiyahu. Verse 13, so they drew up Yirmiyahu with cords and took him up from the cistern and remained Yirmiyahu in the courtyard of the guard. What that was, something fell. Verse 14. Then sent the king Zedekiyahu and took Yirmiyahu the prophet to the third entry that is in the house of Yahweh, and said the king to Yirmiyahu, I will ask you a thing, hide no thing from me. Verse 15. Then said Yirmiyahu to Zedekiyahu, because I declare it to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give counsel, will you not listen to me? Verse 16. So swore the king Zedekiyahu to Yirmiyahu secretly, 5643, saying, as Yahweh lives, that made us this being, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men that seek your life. Verse 17. Said Yirmiyahu to Zedekiyahu, thus says Yahweh, Elohe of hosts, Elohe Israel, If you assuredly go forth, that's 3318 doubled, to the officers of the king of Babel, then your being shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and you shall live and your household. Verse 18. But if you will not go forth to the officers of the king of Babel, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Kashtim, and they shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand. So the Chaldeans were going to get it regardless. Didn't matter whether he did or he didn't. He's been given an opportunity right there to save his own life. Verse 19. And said the king Zedekiahu to Yirmiyahu, I am afraid of the Ya'udim that are fallen to the Kashtim, lest they give me into their hand and they abuse me. 5953. These are the people of Yehuda that had gone over voluntarily to the Chaldeans. They had surrendered themselves, and they were going to be slaves, but they were going to be live slaves, because anybody that fought against them and stayed in that city, they were going to kill them. So they made a good choice. Verse 20, said Yirmiyahu, they shall not give you over. Listen, please, to the voice of Yahweh that I speak to you, so that it shall be well to you and your being shall live. But if you refuse, 3986, to go forth, this is the word that Yahweh showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the house of the king of Yehuda shall be brought forth to the officers of the king of Babel, and those women shall say, instigated, 5496, and prevailed, 3201, against you, your men of peace. Sunk in the mire are your feet, and they are turned away, 5472, backwards, 268. They're backslidden, okay? It was a bad situation. Verse 23. So they shall bring forth all your wives and your children to the Kashtim, and you shall not escape from their hand, but shall be captured by the hand of the king of Babel, and you shall cause this city to be burned with fire. In other words, he didn't obey, and he's angering this king who's already attacking the city. And if he would go out and subjugate himself and said, here I am, I surrender, please don't burn the city, he would have had mercy on the city. But no, he's not going to do that. Verse 24, then said Zedekiahu to Yirmiyahu, let no man know of these words, and you shall not die. Verse 25, but if the officials hear that I have talked with you, and they come to you and say to you, declare to us now what you have said to the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put you to death. Also what the king said to you, in other words, snitch. Verse 26, then you shall say to them, I laid down my supplication before the king that he would not cause me to return to the house of Yaanathan to die there. Verse 27, then came all the officials to Yirmiyahu and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they kept silence with him, for the matter was not heard. In other words, that's exactly what happened. Verse 28, you can refer to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 21. So abode Jeremiah, Jeremiah in the courtyard of the guard until the day that Jerusalem was captured, and he was there when Jerusalem was captured. So all these things came true, you know. This chapter 39, the one I'm about to start, tells all the terrible things that are going to happen. There's all the people that disobeyed, including the king, they're going to get it bad in this chapter. So this is the result of their disobedience. Chapter 39, verse 1. And 2 Kings chapter 25 is the same basically as chapter 39 here. Verse 1. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Yehuda, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babel, and all his army to Jerusalem and lay siege to it. Okay. The timeline jumps all over the place. They had backed off. Verse 2 is 18 months later than verse 1. See how this jumps all over? Verse 2, and in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth of the month, the city was broken into. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's captured by breaching the walls. Bekeah. Verse 3, came in all the officers of the king of Babel and sat in the middle gate. Nergal Sharitzer, 5371, that's the chief soothsayer. Samgar Nebo, 5562, that's an unknown meaning. We don't know what that one means. Sar Sekim, 8310. That's an unknown meaning. We don't know what that was. Rab Saris, 7249. That's the chief eunuch. Nergal Sar Etzer, or Etzer, 5371. That's listed twice here. Rab Mag, 7248. Might be chief of princes. We don't know. It's an unsure meaning. And all the rest of the officers of the king of Babel. Verses 4 through 7, you can reference Jeremiah 52, verses 7 through 11. Verse 4, and it was when Zedekiah, king of Yehuda, saw them, and all the men of war, they fled and went forth from the city by night by the way of the king's garden through the gate between the walls, and he went forth by the way of the valley plain. Well, evidently these people found out about it. Verse 5, but pursued the army of the Kashtim after them and overtook Zedekiah in the valley plains of Jericho. And when he was taken, they brought him up to Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babel, at Riblah, 7247, in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced justice upon him. This is really bad. So, verse 6, then slew the king of Babel the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah in his sight. And all the nobles of Yehuda slew also the king of Babel. He killed all his people right in front of him. It gets worse. Verse 7, you can see Ezekiel 12, verse 13. Verse 7, and the eyes of Zedekiah he put out, 5786, and bound him with bronze fetters to go to Babel. He blinded him and just dragged him along. Verse 8, and the house of the king and the houses of the people, the Kashtim, that's the Chaldeans again, burned with fire, and the walls of Jerusalem, they broke down. All those walls broke them down. Left the rocks laying in a big heap. Verse 9, and the rest of the people that remained in the city and those that fell, in other words, those that surrendered, that fell to him and the rest of the people remaining, carried away captive Nebuzaradan, 5018, chief of the guards, into Babel. And that chief of the guards is Rab Tabakim in the Hebrew. Verse 10, from the poor of the people that had nothing left, Nebuzaradan, chief of the guards in the land of Yehuda, that had nothing, I read that wrong. From the poor of the people that had nothing left, Nebuzaradan, chief of the guards in the land of Yehuda, and gave to them vineyards and fields at the same time. In other words, they would farm and the produce would go to Babel. They were slaves. Verse 11. Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babel, commanded concerning Yirmiyahu by the hand of Nebuzaradan, chief of the guard, saying, verse 12. Take him and look well over him and do no thing harmful, but do to him what he says to you. In other words, the king of Babel knew that Jeremiah was a major prophet. And it's wise to do what he says, because Yahweh will send wrath on you if you don't. He learned a lesson from the ignorance and foolishness of the king of Yehuda, who was a total moron. Well, that was the last of the coffee. I'll drink water now. Verse 13, so sent Nebuzaradan, chief of the guards, and Nebuchadzban, 5021, Rabsaris, that's the chief eunuch, and Nergal-sar-Itzer, 5371, Rabmag, and all of the commanders of the king of Babel, sent and took Yirmiyahu from the courtyard of the guard and gave him to Gedaliahu, 1436, son of Akikam, 296, son of Shaphan, 8227, to go forth to his house, so he dwelt among the people. And Gedaliahu will become the governor appointed by the king of Babel, in chapter 40, verse 7. So, and he would get murdered. Verse 15. To Yirmiyahu came the word of Yahweh while he was shut up in the courtyard of the guard, saying, 16. Go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Cushi, saying, thus says Yahweh of hosts, Elohei Israel, behold, I will bring my words to the city for evil as harm, and not for good, and they shall be in that day before you. Verse 17, but I will deliver you in that day, declares Yahweh, and you shall not be given into the hands of the men that you fear from the presence of. In other words, you're going to be safe, because he was a helper to Yahweh's chosen prophet. Verse 18, because I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be for plunder to you, because you have put your trust in me. He would be a servant in Babel, and like the spoils of war, that was his life. He will live, but he's going to have to serve. Everybody had to serve. So there were no exceptions there. Now we're into a short chapter, chapter 40. The word that came to Yirmiyahu from Yahweh after Nebuzaradan, chief of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him bound in chains among all the exiles of Yerushalayim and Yehuda, which were carried away into exile to Babel. Verse 2. And took the chief of the guards, Yirmiyahu, and said to him, Yahweh Elohecha, that means your God, has pronounced calamity upon this place. And 7451, that also means calamity, harm, evil, bad. Verse 3. Now Yahweh has brought it and done according as he has said, because you have sinned against Yahweh, that means the Israelites, and have not listened to his voice. Therefore, these things have come upon you. 4. And at this time, behold, I loose you this day from the chains that were upon your hand. If it seems good in your eyes to come with me to Babel, come. And I will look with my eyes over you, but if it seems ill, 7489, in your eyes to come with me to Babel, forbear, 2308. Behold, all the land is before you, where it is in your eyes is good and upright to go, there go. In other words, they recognized that Yirmiyahu was a chosen prophet of Yahweh, and they respected that. Even though they were pagans and they were going to punish Israel as a tool, Yahweh is moving his hand. Verse 5, as yet he had not returned, so he said, return to Gedaliahu, son of Akikam, son of Shaphan, that the king of Babel has made governor, 6485, as appointed him over, that's Hippakid, over the cities of Yehuda, and dwell with him among the people, or go to anywhere in your eyes is upright to you to go. So the chief of the guard gave him an allowance of food, 737, that's Aruka, and a gift, 4864, Masaeth, and let him go. Came Yirmiyahu to Gedaliahu, son of Akikam, to Mitzapatha, 4708, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land, the remnant. Verse 7. Now when all the officers of the armies that were in the fields, they and their men, heard that the king of Babel had made Gedaliahu the son of Akikam governor in the land, and had appointed to him men and women and children from the poor of the land, from those that were not carried into exile to Babel. In other words, they were placed under his charge. And chapter 40, verses 7 through 9, you can reference 2 Kings 25, verses 22 through 24, verse 8. Here comes some bad stuff. Came to Gedaliah, that's Gedaliahu, the U is left off here, to Mitzpatha, Ishmael, 3458, son of Netanyahu, 5418, and Yochanan, 3110, and Yonathan, 3129, sons of Kariach, that's Q-A-R-E-A-C-H, 7143, and Sariah, 8304, son of Tanakumeth, 8576, and the sons of Ephi, 5778, then Netophathi, 5200, And Yezaniahu, 3153, son of Maakathi, 4602, they and their men. Verse 9. And swore to them Gedaliahu, son of Akikam, and to their men, saying, do not fear, 3372, to serve, 5647, the Kashtim. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. Well, Yahweh had set that up for that. Verse 10. As for me, behold, I will dwell at Mitzpah to serve before the Kashtim that will come to us, but you gather wine and summer fruits and oil and put them in your vessels and dwell in the cities that you have captured. 8610. Those were cities that were taken from the Canaanites when Israel came into the land of Yehuda. Go back to the cities that you, your tribe had taken and stay there. No problem. Verse 11. Likewise, when all the Yehudim, 3064, those are the Judeans and men of Judah, that were in Moab, see, they were scattered all over, and among the children of Ammon and in Edom, and that were in all the lands, heard that the king of Babel had left a remnant and had appointed over them Gedaliahu, son of Akikam, son of Shaphan. All the Yehudim returned from all the places where they were dispersed in exile, 5080, and came to the land of Yehuda, to Gedaliahu, to Mitzpatha, and gathered wine and summer fruits in abundance. Verse 13. And Yochanan, son of Kariach, and all the officers of the armies that were in the fields, came to Gedaliahu to Mitzpatha. In other words, all the soldiers that had escaped gathered to him. Verse 14. And said to him, do you certainly know that Baalis, 1185, king of the children of Ammon, has sent Yishmael, son of Netaniah, to smite your being, in other words, to kill you. He's here to murder you. But Gedaliahu, son of Akikam, believed them not. Verse 15, then Yochanan, son of Kariach, said to Gedaliahu in Mitzpah, secretly, 5643, saying, let me go now, and I will smite Yishmael, son of Netaniah, and no man shall know. Why should he smite your being that all Yehuda that are gathered to you should be scattered and the remnant in Yehuda perish? Verse 16. But said Gedaliahu, son of Akikam, to Yochanan, son of Kariach, do not do this thing, for falsely you speak of Yishmael. He was in charge of the people, but he was blind to the conspiracy against him. And it was going to cost him his life. Because in chapter 41, which we'll get into tomorrow, on Friday, the murder is plotted and accomplished. And it really hurt the people. And I got about 15 minutes. I don't think I could get chapter 41 done. It's 18 verses. Let me try it here. Let's go for it. Chapter 41, verses 1 through 3. You can reference 2 Kings 25, verse 25. Verse 1. It came to be in the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Netaniah, son of Elishama, of the seed line of royalty. In other words, he had royal blood. And the princes of the king, 10 men with him, came to Gedaliah, son of Akikam, at Mizpah, and they ate their bread together in Mizpah. They sat down to dinner. Verse 2. Then rose up Yishmael, son of Netanyah, and the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah, son of Akikam, son of Shaphan, with the sword, and put him to death, that the king of Babel had appointed governor over the land. Verse 3. And all the Ya'udim that were with him, with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Kashtim that were found there, and the men of war, smote Yishmael. In other words, he killed all those people, including the Kashtim that were there, envoys from the king of Babel. That bad deal, bad deal. And it was on the second day after he put to death Gedaliah, and no man knew. Verse 5. He got away with it. And you can reference verse 5 in Deuteronomy 14:1. Then there came men from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Shomeron, 80 men having shaven beards, torn clothing, and having cut themselves. These are all pagan practices, with grain offerings and incense in their hand, to bring to the house of Yahweh. This is how ignorant they were, violating the law of Yahweh to go to the house of Yahweh. Direct opposite of what they're supposed to do. Verse 6, and went forth Ishmael, son of Netanyah, to meet them from Mizpah, all along as he went weeping, and it was, as he met them, said he to them, come to Gedaliah, son of Akikam. Verse 7. And it was, when they came to the midst of the city, that Ishmael, son of Netanyah, slew them and cast them into the midst of the cistern, he and the men that were with him. He just murdered all those people. He was in the mood. He's a bloody, bloody man. Verse 8. But 10 men were found among them that said to Ishmael, do not put us to death, because we have treasures in the field of wheat and of barley and of oil and of honey. So they were going to give him his crops in exchange for their life. So he forbore and did not put them to death among their kinsmen. Verse 9. Now the cistern that had cast there all the dead bodies of the men whom he had smitten because of Gedaliah, it was that which Asa, 609, the king had made because of the presence of Baasha, 1201, the king of Israel, and Yishmael, son of Netanyah, filled it with the slain. Verse 10, then carried away captives Ishmael, all the remnant of the people that were in Mizpah, the daughters of the king, and all the people that remained in Mizpah that had appointed Nebuzaradan, the chief of the guard, to Gedaliah, son of Akikam, and carried away captive Ishmael, the son of Netanyah, and went to pass over to the children of Ammon. He was taking them over to the Ammonites. This guy was a dirty bird, man. Woo! 11. But when Herod, Jochanan, son of Kareach, and all the officers of the army that were with him, which had reassembled for Gedaliah, basically, of all the evil that had committed Ishmael, the son of Netanyah, they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, son of Netanyah, and found him by the great waters that are in Gibeon. Now it was, when saw all the people that were with Ishmael, Jochanan, son of Kareach, and all the officers of the army that were with him, they were glad. 8055, all the people that were captive, yeah, were being rescued. verse 14. So, mm-hmm. pardon me. I got to clear my throat here. So turn back all the people that had carried away captive Ishmael from Mizpah. They returned and went to Yochanan, son of Kareach. They went to their rescuers. They went, fled back to them. 15, but Ishmael, son of Netanyah, escaped, 4422, from the presence of Yochanan with 8 men and went to the children of Ammon. He went and hid among the Ammonites. Verse 16. Then took Yochanan, son of Kareach, and all the officers of the armies that were with him, all the remnant of the people that returned from Ishmael, son of Netanyah, from Mizpah, after he had smitten Gedaliah, son of Akikam, mighty men of war, and the women and the children and the eunuchs that he had returned from Gibeon. Verse 17, and they went and dwelt in the inn, 1628, of Kimham, 3643, that is by Bethlehem, that's Bethlehem, to go to enter into Mitzrayim, that's Egypt. And you can reference 42:15 through 22. Verse 18, because of the presence of the Kashtim, for they were afraid of their presence, because Ishmael, son of Netanyah, had smitten Gedaliahu, son of Akikam, whom the king of Babel appointed governor over the land. And that ends chapter 41. Now, remember, Yahweh had said, don't go down into Mitzrayim. Don't go down into Egypt. Be subject to the Kashtim. This is what I want for you. It's for your good. You're going to have to suffer some punishment. You must obey me. These people meant well, but they didn't listen to prophecy. They didn't read the scripture. They didn't listen to Yirmiyahu, and they were going down into Egypt. And it's going to cost them. It's not a good move, okay? They are making a major error here. And they'll find that out later. Yahweh had warned. But as it was then, it is now. People don't listen to Yahweh. They don't read the word. They don't want to hear it. Most of them now, people in Christian identity, thirst for the word. They can't get enough of it. They study. They are converted. We have a lot of fence sitters. Those are the people I'm trying to reach to get them to jump off that fence and become part of Yahweh's remnant. The people of Israel. We've got Israelites all over this country. Particularly is full of them. Great Britain, Germany, all the white European countries, South Africa, the Boer people, they know they're Israel. They teach it to their children in the home. Yahweh will call whom he will call, and it's up to the individual to answer. I don't know any other way to do this service work. I can only read and explain what has been revealed to me, and through all my studies and all these massive books I've got all over the place in neat rows, and I do my research before I do sermons. I don't just wing it. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will take me down a path I'm not prepared for, But it guides me and takes care of it, and it turns out right. Yahweh doesn't let his word go out void. But I've been having some real good success. I've been having a lot of good conversations with people. Emails, letters, on and on and on and on. It's working. What can I say? Yahweh is blessing. Always blessing. EFR is growing slowly. If you just get an urge to hit that donate button, that wouldn't hurt my feelings. I don't get any of it, but there are expenses incurred by operating an internet radio station like that. We have to pay for server time. And they're just expenses, you know, maintenance of equipment. This is all out of pocket pretty much, except for the few donations we get in. And I would personally appreciate it if you would help us out. We're doing this on a volunteer basis. Nobody gets paid. And we could really use some financial support. If everybody that listened donated $1 a month, that would make a major dent, because we have a lot of listeners, people that download just $1, $2, $5, whatever you could squeeze out, $3. You know, that won't hurt you. Hit that donate button and put a few shekels in the pot, because we got more coming from EFR. We're doing all we can to expand and bring better service and more service to you. And it takes shekels. It just does. Now that's what we're stuck with. And we've been doing the best we can, and listener support has been pretty fair, but we could use a little bit more. I don't worry about myself. I live on social insecurity. I got a nice apartment, food to eat, clothes to wear, roof over my head, heat in the winter and cool in the summer, and I'm set, okay? Yahweh has provided everything that I need. But the station itself could use a little financial help. These nice calendars that we're bringing out, that's one thing, so you have an accurate record of when the feast days are. Oh, I sort of forget when they are. All you have to do is look on the calendar. And it's a beautiful calendar. It's not on cheap paper. It's on heavy paper, gloss, with pictures. And just it's really nice. So think about it. I'm coming down the end of the hour here. Tomorrow I will get into chapter 42 of the book of Jeremiah. It's been a pleasure speaking to you today, and may Yahweh bless and keep you, and Shalom Aleichem until tomorrow. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the